The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, it's just like if you walk through a physical storm, the sea will throw up stuff on the shoreline. And it's the same with us. You walk through a storm and you discover what you really believe.
James and Betty share their journey through a painful storm with best-selling author and speaker, Sheila Walsh.
There are days of chaos when you feel like your heart's just going to burst wide open.
Learning to trade the chaos of how you feel for the truth of who you are. Next.
For joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty and this is James, and we have one of our dearest friends with us.
Sheila Walsh is with us, and she is one of the most gifted people that I know. I mean, she's an amazing singer. She is a communicator as effective as any I know. And amazingly, she is not just a woman who's well known who writes books, but she is gifted. And I think one of the reasons that she's so effective is she just pours out her heart. She bears her soul. And she's willing to expose the painful areas of living and life. And she doesn't try to whitewash her own life, just as God didn't whitewash all of the characters in the Bible. She seems to understand that's important. When we got this book, The Storm Inside, Trade the Chaos of How You Feel for the Truth of Who You Are. Well, we thought, well, this is just another remarkable Sheila Walsh book, and we'll certainly want to talk to her about it because we like what she does. But to our amazement, and I mean, it was really quite a surprise, we opened the book and find that she'd made a special dedication. Let me read it. This book is dedicated with love and deep gratitude to my friends, Dr. James and Betty Robison. You have weathered some overwhelming storms, and you've kept your eyes on Christ alone. I thank God for your lives. The book is dedicated in loving memory of your daughter, Robin Rochelle Robison Turner, who fought a valiant 7-year battle with cancer, now home free, and in quotes, she will be waiting for us someday at heaven's gates, saying, come on, Mom and Dad, and meet the King of Kings in all of his glory. And we will. And that was something that I wrote about our daughter. I want to say thank you, Sheila. Would you say thank you, Sheila, for just the kindness? Just thank you. It meant a lot that you said that you love and appreciate us because we love and appreciate not only you, but so many. And when we talk about keeping your eyes on Christ and seeing Him, I really do see Him in you and in others. And I look for Jesus. And where I don't see Him, I so want Him there. And when you mentioned our daughter, I want to say this about Robin. She's alive. She has a living legacy, not only her 3 children, you know, Christopher and Cody and Callie, and a wonderful husband, Ken, who's been such a great dad. Ken, I love you and thank you. And kids, I love you. What beautiful pictures of everything your mother dreamed that her children would be because she lived full of life. I don't understand, you know, the graciousness and gratitude you expressed to us, but it meant a lot to us. I want to thank you.
Well, you know, I wouldn't even pretend to understand what it's like to have to say goodbye to a child this side of eternity. But the reason I wanted to do this was because I have watched you in so many different circumstances. I have watched you shine at the brightest moments. I've watched you preach. I've watched you teach. I've watched you humble yourself. But I have watched you walk through this situation, losing a daughter. And you have shone even more brilliantly in that. And the fact that you are willing to do that and share your pain with those of us who watch in is very humbling. And there wasn't even a shadow of a doubt that when I began to write this book, I knew exactly who I wanted to honor because I'm sure many people tell you, and I hope you get letters that say it every day, but you need to know you're heroes in our nation and in the church. And I'm so deeply, deeply grateful for you.
Well, I got the book and the title grabbed me right away because, you know, that was a big storm. It is a big storm. And when you the subtitling about the chaos, there is chaos. There are days of chaos when you feel like your heart's just gonna burst wide open. But in the midst of that, I have learned, and I felt like when I started reading this book, that you and I had sat down together and God allowed you to see into my heart. And it blessed me so much because not just me, there are so many women out there that battle the chaos of life with fears, with insecurity, with loss, with the battles that Satan puts upon us, and they keep them inside.
Yeah.
But that's what I appreciate so much about your book, because you get right down to it, and in the center is God. And that's one thing that as we've walked through this, God has grown bigger.
Yes.
And bigger to me in my life. I hang on to Him for life.
That's so something I see in both of you, though. Christ is the hero of your story. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. And for me, as I watched you suffer and others, friends of mine suffer, I go right back to that morning that changes everything for all of us. You know, if we just had a crucifixion, we would have had a man who loved us enough to die for us. But that would have been the end of the story. And that would have been the end of our hope. But that's not what happened. Because on that morning, on that Sunday morning, when Mary went to the tomb, there's two questions asked of her that I think change everything. First question, the angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And at first you'd think, well, where have you been for 3 days? Don't you know what's happened? But the question is brilliant. It's like, why are you crying? If he was here, then you should be crying. If he's still laying here, if he's a dead body, then we'll all be crying for the rest of our lives. Here's the good, he's not still here, he's alive. Yeah. And then Jesus, when Mary turns and she hears the voice and she doesn't know quite who it is, and Jesus asks her, "Woman, who are you looking for?" And that is something that in the darkest night, every one of us has to ask. We have to hear Christ asking, "Who are you looking for?" You know, when you're sitting having your chemotherapy treatment, when you're hearing your child take their last breath, wherever you are, who are you looking for? And in that situation, Lord Jesus, I'm looking for you.
Absolutely.
Because you're my only hope.
Absolutely.
And if all we had was a crucifixion, we are people who followed a wonderful leader. And that was the end of the story. But no, Robin, she's moved on. She's a room ahead of us.
She's alive.
And one of these days, we will be more alive than we have ever been.
And I don't want anyone to miss that. I don't want you to miss not only the life that she has forever and that in Christ we have forever. I want you to experience the life that she had here.
Yes.
And the life deposits that she made on this planet for the glory of God and for the blessing and benefit of everyone life, His life in us can touch. Sheila, you wrote such an effective book that I've watched Betty as she has read it to me and rejoiced and wept with the truth. But she has tried to give it to everyone she knows and that has a storm inside or a heartache. And you know what I'd like to encourage the viewers to do? Because see, as much as I want you to receive every great thing God has for you, and that's one thing we want to do is we want to release what God has for you to you. But you know what we want beyond that? We want you to release that to others. We want you to let the river of love and life flow freely, unrestricted. And we actually want you to look for that dry ground, that dry and thirsty land, that person that's hurting and feels overlooked and release it. So I want to encourage you. You can go online, you can go to the bookstores and get the book. You could order several. Think about it. How many people do you know that have a storm inside, a broken heart, a pain? Well, I believe God's anointed Sheila because Betty sees this. I got to get this in people's hands. I want to encourage you to do that. I'll tell you what we'll do for you. We will ask you to bless someone even today because this is what we do. We live to put God's arms around hurting people. But we'll send you the book. I mean, all you have to do is, would you please send it to me? I don't even know if I could afford it. Well, we can't afford not to get it to you because we love you. Sheila, why did you write this book, The Storm Inside? I mean, here you speak to so many women in the Women of Faith conferences. You've been in the Billy Graham Crusades. You were one of the great featured soloists. You've been a blessing all over the United Kingdom and here in our nation. Why did you write this book? What moved you to write it?
It really came out of a conference I was asked to speak to, a group of women 3 years ago, and they were seasoned women of the faith. Some of them were pastors, pastors' wives, and worship leaders. I knew many of them. I mean, they had walked with Christ for a long time. And there's maybe 300 of them. And I said to them that morning, I want you to imagine that the moment you walked through this door, suddenly all your baggage became visible. You know, not your purse, your stuff. The stuff that you pushed into the cellar of your soul. And every now and again, you hit a storm and it comes back up again. You know, it's just like if you walk through a physical storm, the sea will throw up stuff on the shoreline. And it's the same with us. You walk through a storm and you discover what you really believe, as opposed to what you thought you believed or what you hope you believed. But I said to the women at the end, there's a 3x5 card on your chair. Don't put your name on it. But if you'll write down what you don't want to take home, you know, take Christ up on that ridiculously glorious offer at the end of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light.
Wow.
And I told them, I will take everyone home and I will pray over them. What I did not anticipate was that I would do it on my knees in my office with tears rolling down my face. For what some of these women wrote. One woman said, my husband is pastor of a very large church. We can't have children. What he doesn't know is I had an abortion in college, and I know that's why we can't have children. God's punishing me. Mm. Another woman wrote, I honestly believe my husband and our church would be better off if I was no longer on this earth. Mm. And I thought, these are not just baby believers. These are women who've walked with God but are still weighed down by all this stuff. And so I began to study God's word, Lord, how do we get rid of this? I mean, 1 Peter 5, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does resist mean? Resist means stand firm, but also there's something in the Greek that implies stronger than, you know, and I'm thinking, how am I? But then I remember what's said in 1 John, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So for me, for every accusation of the enemy, we need a declaration from the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. I want to equip women, not just to have a Bible, not just to read the Bible, not just to study the Bible, to apply the word of God to their life, so that it's living bread every single day. You know, Betty, what I love is when the psalmist David, I think it's in Psalm 56, says that God catches every tear in his bottle. And I have one of those little tear bottles that you can get. And often, like, if someone was going to bury a husband or a daughter, they would give that tear bottle to the person. And as they walked to the place where the child would be buried or the loved one would be buried, they would catch every single tear in the bottle, and then it would be corked and buried with the person, as if to say, this is how much I loved you. And I think of the number of people who think, nobody knows the tears I've cried. No one understands the depth of my pain. But I want people to know there's not one tear that you have cried that has dropped unnoticed to the ground, that God has captured them. And scripture tells he's recorded every one of them in his book.
And you know, one thing that I've noticed on my journey is I sense that my tears change from just my heartache, but my tears have been tears for others that are going through the same thing, and they don't know what to do. My heart aches for them.
Which is why you wanted to offer healing. You know, you told us when we were talking, even before we came out here, that one of the things you see so many people deal with is shame for things that happened. They seem to not be able to get over it, or maybe they don't seem to have the ability to forgive whoever it was that hurt them, and they're trapped, I mean, by maybe whatever it is they're trying to impart some kind of pain on the person that hurt them, but they're the ones that are really suffering. And when they release and offer the forgiveness and have the load lifted and the shame lifted, is that huge?
It's astronomically huge. I mean, even if you just take shame, and the way I would differentiate shame and guilt is I would think guilt tells me I've done something wrong. Shame tells me I am something wrong. And the number of girls who grow up feeling, at my very core, I am something wrong. I remember that feeling. I mean, I grew up, you know, as you know, my father died quite violently when I was 5. And I remember at 12 going to a school dance, and my mom couldn't afford to get me the right kind of dress. You know, everyone wore these little straight dresses, and she'd got me this frilly dress, but I couldn't hurt her feelings. So what I did was I left to go to the dance, and I spent the night in the field behind the school. And I remember sitting in that field, listening to the music and watching my friends go in with the right dress. And I remember what that felt like. Mm-hmm. You don't fit in. You never will fit in. You're different. And that's that deep sense of shame. And young girls have been sexually abused. Mm-hmm. They feel somehow it's their fault, and they've lowered their worth. And what I want people to know is that shame is something that Christ voluntarily took on himself. He who knew no shame became shame, so that we could look to him with radiant faces. You get to take off that heavy overcoat and drop it at the foot of the cross, knowing that you're loved and you're beautiful.
I want to just turn to every one of you who are watching. I don't know where you are, and your immediate response might be probably you wouldn't really care, or you don't, or no one does. Well, I do care, and I would be grateful if I could step into the situation and brighten your day and lighten your load. Impossible for me to do that. I'm simply limited. But it's not impossible for God, and he cares so deeply that he really can come into that space that you now occupy and that emptiness in your life, and he really can lighten the load and brighten your day, and he can really heal the hurt. I mean, I just wish you could know how much he loves you. I wish you could understand. I wish you could know that the suffering that Jesus took on the cross was for you to remove that everlasting and that horrible feeling of suffering that just goes on. And he simply says to you, come like a child and just ask me to do it, and just please receive the love that I'm so freely offering, and let me forgive you and make you whole and give you the ability to forgive and take away the shame. Would you ask him to do it? Yes, like a child, just Father God, I want you to be like a father, maybe like the father you never knew. God, I want you to be who you are in me and to receive your love through your son, Jesus. I want that. I don't understand it all, but like a child, I'm telling you, I want a new day, a new way, your way. I want to see everything new. I want to be new. Forgive me. Make me new. Heal my heart. Heal my hurt. Calm the storm inside. Brighten this day. Would you just say, Lord, I give me to you all that I am, to all you want to be in me. If you need someone to pray with you and you dial that phone number there, it's a prayer line. It's always there as a helpline. You'd like to call, I have written a little Bible study called Knowing God as Father. It's a very simple start. How we can know him and grow, I'd be happy to just send it to you. And then I want to ask you to do something else. And I know, Sheila, you believe so much in what we're doing, and we're so grateful that our viewing audience really want to put the arms of God around a hurting world. Let me show you something. It's a blessing to me and Betty. We've talked today about our beautiful daughter, and our son really loved his little sister. And we see Jesus in him. He found himself in Cambodia, and suddenly in a situation he didn't really expect or expect it to be. Not what happened. Listen to him tell you what he saw. And then you say, God, what can I do to make a difference? Listen closely. You'll hear our son, but I think you'll hear his son.
I'm here in a very remote part of Cambodia. There's nothing around here except for a few shacks. There's just not much here. And yet still, a human trafficker came through here many months ago and promised this young lady's sister a better life and some things, lured her away, and they haven't heard from her. She's, as far as they know, gone. They have her picture, and they have a prayer that she'll come back, a hope that they we'll see her again. She's very likely being forced to do things that no girl should be forced to do in places that are not fit for human living. This is the reality here and in places all over the world. That's why Rescue Life is critical. We must first reach into places like this with education so that they'll know what to look out for when these predators come through. We must rescue the girls that we can and get them out of the sex trade. And we must restore them. We must give them a hope and a future. We can do that. We can do it on a larger scale, but we have to have your help. I pray that you will help us as we try to help so many girls. We have to stop this abuse. It's not right. You can do something. Join with us as we rescue life.
Can you imagine an impoverished situation where somebody comes in and very craftily tells someone, we're going to take care of your child, your daughter, and we're going to teach them, and they're going to be able to make a good living, and they're going to even be able to communicate back with you. And, you know, sometimes they'll come in and hand a little young girl a cell phone and say, well, she's going to go, she'll be able to call you anytime. Of course, she can't, because she's taken slave, as a slave. This manipulation is so sad that our own appetites can become so totally controlling and so depraved that we have no regard for anyone and hurt them and be trapped and not even seeking a way out, but taking others and then exploiting them. Betty, it's happening all over the world. You and I have watched little girls parading themselves, offering themselves as the special to be a little girl. And these terribly depraved individuals, or those who are prisoners themselves, go in and exploit these children, and the marketers that want to use them and market them for their own gain. It's just, it's gut-wrenching. But God's love is enabling us through these incredible missionaries to rescue them and to get many of the children that have been exploited by going in and teaching the families and then actually helping those children advance. And then those that have been trapped to get them out and give them a trade and literally restore them, we're able to do it.
We're able to offer them hope, something that they don't even recognize anymore because they don't see it. And in desperation, these people take advantage of these families a lot of times with these precious little children that they have. And they'll say, we'll give them hope. We'll show them. We'll get them out of their situations. Just let us take care of them. Lie after lie after lie until they've trapped these precious children. And they have nowhere to go. Well, we can give them a place to go. We can offer real hope to them, and that's in Jesus Christ. We know where that hope comes from. But let's do that. Will you join with us, and let's reach out and let's touch the lives of these precious children that don't see any hope in life themselves.
You know, we provide a safe haven for them, safe houses in so many places. Sometimes we build places with your help. Here's what I want you to hear, because this is really kind of where the rubber meets the road. This is where we actually, you know, put our hand to the plow, so to speak. It costs an average of $128 to rescue a child. Now, that's what the missionaries tell us. Some would say, I'd be glad to do that. Some would say, I can't do that. Could you do 64 and pray someone joins you? And then many of you would say, James, this is such a horrible thing, and God's blessed me. $1,280 will help rescue 10. We have, by the missionaries' request, said we'll do our best in these brief days to help you rescue 6,000. That'll be a target goal that we're asking you please to help us with. We want to send you Lisa Bevere's teaching series, See It From God's Point of View. It changes everything. This is a phenomenal teaching series. You can get it on CD, or you get it on DVD. You can even get it on a flash drive, however you want it. And then the book that she wrote, It's Not How You Look, It's What You See, that actually helped inspire this series. We want to send that to you to say thank you for your help. Please dial the number. Would you do that? And others are calling to get help. Would you call on someone to give help and make the largest gift you can? Use your bank card like a check. You write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it, and mail it. Mail it to Life. Make it out to Life. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can make your gift even now online, and many people choose to do that. Thank you so much for making the gift, and we want to make a divine deposit in your life, not only through the programming on Life, but also through the incredible teaching series that Lisa Bevere did to really help you see it from God's point of view. Thank you for your gift.
Human trafficking, It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their destiny forever. With gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your support with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this existence. Today, with your gift of any amount, we'll send you Lisa Bevere's powerful new series, See It, on audio CD, along with her companion book, It's Not How You Look, It's What You See. In this new series, Lisa equips you to see a new perspective for your life, one of great possibilities, not limited by the world, but defined by God, who sees your future and created you to be a unique blessing to those around you. With your gift of $128 to help rescue a child, you may request the book along with See It on CD and DVD, or choose USB flash drive, which includes all the messages in both audio and video. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, Betty, and I want to say thank you, and I do want to remind you it's just a short time left for us to literally get the support we need for Mission Rescue Life. And today, if you'd like to have Sheila Walsh's book, The Storm Inside, you can tell how much it's moved us as a couple. She so graciously really honored our daughter in that living memory. And then to say thanks, really, she's saying thanks to all of you who make what we do possible. But if you'd like to have the book, I do encourage you to get copies for friends that need help. But to say thank you, if you'll help us rescue others with whatever gift, any gift God puts on your heart, we'll be glad to send you Sheila's book. Would those of you in the audience join me and Betty saying thanks to Sheila Walsh for blessing us. Sheila, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And Sheila, you know you're always welcome to come back. Anytime God puts something on your heart, you bring it here. Thank all of you for watching Life Today, and thank you for helping to share life today and every day. God bless all of you. I do want to remind you this is the last week and we need your help, and thank you so much for it.
God's way tomorrow.
You are not made to live safe. You are not made to live scared. You are made to live large.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.